Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Differently interesting nocturnal emissions from a legend of late night radio on air and off the leash.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Stalk Radio.
Sat in the corner, eating his cherry pie. I didn't put in a thumb, I didn't put out a plum, so I guess I am as great as one. Give me some. Give me some. Give me some cherry, cherry pie. La la la, whoa, 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 la la la.
There we go, look at that. That, kids, is proper music.
That is proper music.
Well, we did sing about funny things then, didn't we? Pillows to cry on, kicking up leaves.
Yeah, yeah.
Pillows to cry on, kicking up leaves, blue suede shoes. I sang once about a pullover, so I'm singing there about cherry pies.
Everything. Jess Conrad is here, ladies and
good
gentlemen,
evening.
Of course. I'm just going to move your microphone around ever so slightly. There yes. We go. Get nice and close to that, sir.
Yeah.
Jess Conrad is here, pop star, movie star, actor, celebrity, and I'm going to say it, the second most handsome man in the studio this evening, Jess.
Well, I go along with that, but it's only because you're fully made up.
I put a little bit of effort. I've got to say, an amazing shirt that you're wearing.
Yes, well,
tonight.
It's always important to wear a good shirt when you're on the radio. You know, Frankie Vaughan gave me the greatest advice ever.
Yeah, go on.
He said, when you leave the front door, Jesse, you're on parade.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I've always gone like that. You know, when I'm out, I'm out. People see you and you've got to look good.
For those listening in black and white, Mr. Jess Conrad is wearing a beautiful black shirt with gold. It looks like barbed wire on the front.
Yes. Well, that was a famous film or something, wasn't it? So I'm heavily barbed wired up.
Sending out a very tough image.
But it could be anything. But it looks really lovely. And I've got jet black trousers on.
Yeah. Black nice shoes.
Black underpants.
Oh,
you
God.
Know, the jockey
please.
Things. and everything's in its right place, and black socks, and blacks, and suede, not suede, no, patent shoes.
And they're beautiful. And the medallion that we've got around
the
neck?
Oh, yes, this was for being past King Rat of the Grand Order of Water Rats.
I like it.
And I've been a grand member of the Water Rats for many, many years, and it's a great society, and we give so much money to charity. And one of the most important things we have, we run a home called Brinsworth House for retired actors.
Ah,
and
yes, this
I
is
was
famous.
There last week with Richard O'Sullivan.
Now, I'm so glad you mentioned Richard O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
He is one of my absolute heroes.
Well, great.
Great actor, and there were some really nice pictures because Meghan Markle went there maybe 6 months ago, and
yeah,
and there were some great pictures of Richard O'Sullivan there, and it
yeah
was so lovely to see.
And there
was
great pictures
doing
of me and Richard O'Sullivan
yeah
in our the biggest newspaper, The Stage. you have to get in The Stage, our newspaper. I made the back page with Richard.
How is Richard doing? Is he
all
great right?
He's looking good.
Good.
And he's great, and it's fantastic, you know, I've had so many years over there. You know, I did the thing with Jim Davidson, and Charlie Drake played Baron Hardup, and he got ill, and he went in there, and I went to see him, and the next door was the disc jockey
Freeman.
Alan Freeman was
for those
there
who don't know, this
yep
is kind of like a retirement home
yep. Yep.
For celebrities, yep, actors, musicians, performers,
yep. Yep.
And they get to live with yep people from that profession.
And people like me help run it.
Brilliant, good for you.
We support everything. And it's mostly for men basically have lost their partners.
Right,
know?
Okay. Good for you.
It. So, yeah, that was good. I went there for the summer party, and I'll probably go there again for the Christmas party.
Now, listen, we have got some business. You have got a new CD out, which
yes
Catherine is bringing in, because our CD player just died. Literally, as we're coming in, they went, the CD player's died today. So we're going to play some tracks from it. But this is the plug, and we'll plug it again at the end. There's a new double CD collection out on Cherry Red Records, which
yes
is a great record label.
Yes.
Love it. Jess Comrade, this is a great title.
Jess for you.
Yes. The collection.
Jess for you. And the follow-up is going to be Just Jess, but we never quite got there.
And this is all of your hits, all of
yes
your singles, but so much more. There's about nearly 60 tracks on there.
Yes,
I think
it's quite amazing, really. And the people I've been associated with,
yeah,
great writers. I mean, great writers. And the labels, you know, there was Decca Records.
Tell
EMI
me about how you get the bus up to Decca.
Oh, I got the bus. I lived in Brixton. I got the bus up to Decca, which was just the other side of, just as you go over the bridge to the palace,
yeah,
to the Houses of Parliament, just before they're down on the embankment. And I got a bus from Brixton, and my mum gave me a tin box, funny old box with an apple and a banana in it, and a sandwich. And they put me in a booth in the studio. Never sung before in my life. And in those days,
really?
I had a 21-piece orchestra. And I'm standing in the booth, peering out. It looked like the TARDIS,
yeah,
you know, from that television show. And I'm looking at all these, you know, hundreds of musicians. There's 21 of them.
How old would you have been then?
20-something. 20-something.
Wow. So daunting.
Look, 12.
Yeah.
maybe 16. I've always looked younger than I am. Thank goodness.
He's looking
otherwise,
very good,
yeah,
ladies and gentlemen.
I'd have been in a wheelchair now.
Yeah.
So I'm standing there, and the bass player makes a wrong note.
Yeah.
And they had to go right back from the beginning. You know, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they still hadn't got to the vocal, because everything had to be done there and
live.
Then. Live.
Yeah.
That's it. Live. And then you go on to other studios like Abbey Road, where I went before the Zebra Crossing was there. In fact, I parked my car there.
Come in and join us, Kath. This is
all
lovely.
All the different labels I've been with. And of course, I finished up with Joe Meek. And of course, you know, latterly, if you like, you know, you never see a musician. It's all on track before. You just go in and put your voice
on. Put
your
vocal over the top.
And it's so much easier now.
So I want to talk about Joe Meek in a bit. I want to talk about the Sex Pistols. And I want to talk about Heinz as well.
Heinz.
And his nose. But before that,
they do love the nose. They love the bugle, don't they, these people? You know.
But how did you...
I bit a nose off. It doesn't make you a bad person.
All right, we're going to talk about Heinz. Heinz
I know exactly what you're going to talk about because it's been well documented in the film in which I played Larry Parnes.
Yes. The Joe Meek story,
Joe Meek story, and it's well documented there, although they made it a comedy fight.
Right.
And it
was. But it was a real fight, wasn't it?
Well, it's a real fight. I mean, I often think about this now because, you know, having an OBE and then thinking about my past, but that's life, isn't it? You do become a proper person after a long period of time when you're not so proper. And I think it started with war babies, boys like me who went through the war and never knew whether they were going to be wake up the next day because of the air raids were on, searchlights, you know, you never went to school because you didn't have to. They thought you were killed in an air raid. That's another story. I didn't go to school for 6 months.
Wow.
And I told my mum I was going to school every day. Have a good day at school. I say, yes, I've had a good day at school. And she used to give me a box with an apple in or whatever it was. And, of course...
Where would you go then?
No, she gave me, I think it's tuppence halfpenny for my milk at school. And with that tuppence halfpenny, I bought a loaf. And I ate it through the day, and I was like Huckleberry Finn. I went to Brockle Park and Crystal Palace.
On your own, or with mates?
I'm good on my own. I'm either a leader or on my own.
Wow.
And then 6 months later, and I used to come home from school. Mum used to say, have a good day at school. Oh, yes, Mum. Yeah, I did. Had a good day at school. And then 6 months later... the school board man came around because they were late, you know. It's a lot, you know, they didn't come out the week later. 6 months later,
yeah.
He came around. He said to my mother, I'm sorry about the demise of your boy.
Flipping heck. She went,
demise of Michael. She was all Cockney lady girl. She was wonderful. She was a South London beauty queen. She looked like Linda Darnell.
Wow.
Every Friday, the mums used to come and pick us up from school, and I loved it because she was the best looking mum. And I happened to be the best-looking boy at school, so it was a good old guy.
Yes.
So anyway, the funny old scoreboard man comes around and says to my mum, I'm sorry about the demise of your boy. She went, demise? What do you mean, bleating demise? She said, he didn't say, well, he's gone. He said, well, we assume, or words like that, that he hasn't been to school for 6 months. He been killed in an air raid. Hasn't been to school for 6 months, he said. Sling your bleeding hook. He goes to school every day. So
Gerald, get down here. I want a word. Is that what she
said? Actually, when I did come in, up past 3 or 4 o'clock, have a good day at school, Jerry boy. Oh, yes, Mum. Did Fatty Arbuckle give you the cane? Because Fatty Arbuckle, the headmaster, used to drop his cufflinks. I used to bend down, used to whack me up the arse with his cane.
Yeah.
And then with a ruler on that part of the hand, on the knuckles, blood. In those days. So... I said, yes, Mum. He said, you rascal. She says, have you not been to school for 6 months? And she said, I'm going to put you in the under the stairs where the gingerbread boy lived. I thought she told me the gingerbread boy lived under the stairs. You know, they used to have coal holes in the old days.
Yeah, of course.
So you used to open the door and go down these steps where the coal was. And it was a dark old dingy place.
And you thought the gingerbread boy lived
there. Yeah, but she said there was a gingerbread boy, and if I was ever a naughty boy, I was a naughty boy. She'd put me in there with the gingerbread boy, and God heavens, what he's going to do to you? He's going to gobble you up.
What?
She's shaking and she puts me in the cupboard and I stand there shaking, but he never appeared.
No.
And then she let me out. But, where were we?
We were talking... let's do the Heinz story. Let's get it out of the way. You were talking about how growing up in that environment...
So I think because, you know, you've got no dad. He's gone away. He's gone away somewhere because he's in the army. So you've got no father.
Yeah.
My mother, it becomes an... to help the war effort, she becomes an ambulance driver.
Right.
So I'm living with my grandma in Camberwell.
Very common, of course, in the war for that.
Very common. Very common. Air raids every night. You don't know whether you're going to live or die. And I think it reflects on how you grow up. And then when you grow up, and when you become, like a teddy boy, which I became, I didn't know it then, but I've thought about it since. There's a kind of anger in you that can easily be lit. You know, a good night out is having a knee trembler or giving someone a kicking, you know.
Yes.
I mean, that was the teddy boy code. And, of course, I love the costumes, you know, the Telly Boy costumes.
By the way, I haven't heard the phrase knee trembler for about 30 years. Well
no,
done.
So,
bring that back.
That. We won't explain that. So, I had a lot of those. But
he's terrible.
Stop it, Jess. So, yes.
I'm going to put you with the gingerbread boy if you don't watch
it. Oh, no, don't do that. So,
he'll gobble you up.
So, you know, and then a few things happened, which we won't go into now because I'll be here all night, and I've got another gig in September. And what happened was, you know, you don't take fools easily, you know, because all of a sudden I'm a star. All of a sudden I'm an enormous star. Girls just fainting every time they see me on the street because I've been on television. Oh boy, when Boy Meets Girl, 6 o'clock every Saturday. There's no social media. The kids watch that, and we turned black and white England into colour. We brought a new sound in long before the Beatles.
It's hard to imagine now. What were there, two channels then?
There were
two TV channels.
And there were three shows. There was the Film of the Week, there was the Player of the Week, which is how I became famous, because I played a pop star.
Played a pop star, yeah.
And there was the London Playdom. And that was pretty much it.
And it's Hollywood-style stardom. We're not talking about, you know, your average TV star these days. It's not comparable.
That's it.
This was big news.
You've got two channels. Everyone's going to be watching that thing, you know. You're right. You would have been huge at that point doing those kind of things.
Yes, because what happened was, as a young actor... I had been in repertory for... I started off as a film extra, but that's another story. But I've been in repertory earning £7. I've been a film extra earning, like, whatever it was a day, 15 quid a day. And then somebody came in and said a couple of words, and I said, oh, I can do that. He said, no, you can't. That's a different union. That's Equity. You're Film Artists Association. And I said, well, I'll become a member of Equity then. You have to go into rep. So I went into rep in Aberystwyth and places for the same money that I was getting for one day's filming. Mm. That's why a lot of good-looking boys stayed film extras, because they didn't want to lose that money.
Yeah.
But I was so
ambitious.
You wanted
to put the work in.
I knew I could do it. You know, I knew I had charisma and people looked at me. So I knew I could make it in the acting game. So... unfortunately, we've got to go back to Hines now.
Do Hines and get him out of the way, then he's done.
We digressed a bit there. So
I love it. I love your digressions.
I've got all these, I've become a star because I played a pop star on television, and I went to see Jack Goodall, who's much more important than Simon Cowell in those days. And he made me a pop star. But anyway, go back to Hines. I mean, Hines has never got so much publicity as this. And
most people won't even remember the name Hines.
No,
he was
a Joe Meek boy.
Yeah.
And his hit was called Just Like Eddie, a tribute to Eddie Cochran, who's a dear, dear friend of mine, as they all were, of course, you know. I don't know anybody that's not in show business, so it's not that I've got a lot of show business friends. That's the only friends I've got. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know the milkman, you know what I mean? I don't know ordinary people. But they think, oh, you know, he's always talking about stars. Well,
they're your mates.
Well, I only mix with stars.
Yeah.
You know, they say, where do you drink? Some people say, where do you drink? So what do you mean, where do I drink? Well, where do you go for a drink? I don't go anywhere for a drink.
Mm.
I don't go down to the pub and have a drink. I only leave my house if I'm doing something.
Yeah.
And as, you know, Frankie Vaughan said, you know, directly you go outside, you open the door, you're on parade. So I'm always immaculately dressed, even for radio.
Yeah.
Give a kick.
Beautiful,
have
yeah.
a look.
Yeah.
And I don't. Am I still talking?
Tell
anyway.
Me about buying bloody Heinz's nose off, and then we can move on from each other.
Okay.
Did he buy someone's nose off?
So, yeah, apparently so.
So anyway, we're doing the show, and I used to have a dwarf bass player. I used to run through my legs, you know.
Okay, of course.
So,
yeah, why not?
And it was a gimmick. The rock and roll was full of gimmicks, you know. You know, you put your foot out of the corner at stage left, and it's actually your roadie with your shoe on, or a replica of your shoe.
Yeah.
And then you actually come on from the other side of the stage.
Right, brilliant.
So it's full of, you know, rock and roll is full of gimmicks.
Yeah.
It's full of, you know, it's real showbiz,
yeah,
even though we're funny old rockers. And so we're doing this show, and I jumped up on the amp I didn't usually do it, but I did it. As dwarves run through your legs, you jump up on amps. Guitar players go on their knees, you know.
Yeah.
And you say, go on, your dog, you know, play that thing, take me down the road a piece, you know. And it's all that, you know. And of course, the people love it, you know.
Yeah, of course they do.
And as I'm a proper rocker, I can do that and get away with it. You know, look in the mirror and say, Jess, you're looking so good. Botox or us? Yeah, you know, all of that, which is my other persona. Heinz. Oh, yes. So, I'm doing the show.
Yes.
And Heinz comes in. He does his show, Heinz comes in. He does his show. And then I'm top of the bill, obviously. And he comes in after the show and said that the pig... no, I said the pig. He mentioned the bass player's name, his bass player's name. And I said, what, you mean the pig?
Right.
Well, what you mean pig? Well, I said him, the pig. Yeah. Was it him? He said, yes. I said, what did he say then? He said, you jumped on the amp on your third number. And you know I do that.
Oh.
So I said, you know, what are you talking about? I said. Well, he said, you jumped up on the amp. I said, well, they all jump up on the amps. He said, yeah, but you did this and you did that. I said, listen, let's face it, all of us, I said, we're all nicking Elvis Presley's act some way or the other.
Well done.
We always do a bit of Elvis, you know. The leg comes there, the diddly-dum comes there, the arm comes up there, you put your collar up, you know.
Elvis Presley, famous for his diddly-dum.
Oh,
yeah, you're all
well, allowed to show his diddly-dum on American
anyway,
TV.
And I saw this face, and he couldn't let, I said, Heinzie, I said, otherwise, No, he went on and on and on. And all I could see was this funny face going, well, you know, so I thought, I can't have any more of this. And I got hold of his shirt collar, these funny lapels of his coat. I dragged him towards me and I nutted him.
Oh, God.
Which, when you're a teenage cockney boy, you learn at the age of nine. And so his
forehead
opened.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. That was a success. So that's open. There's claret coming out. And then he's still giving it verbal. So then I grab him again. He couldn't
I'm
stop.
Laughing. This is horrible.
No, it is horrible.
Yes.
It is horrible. But he wouldn't stop.
Ew.
So I grabbed his lapels again towards me and I bit his nose.
Oh.
And he went. And so I had the nose, in my mouth, kind of thing. And then I pushed him back against the wall. And then I spit the nose out on the floor, what was left of it. And then he finally fell on...
He shut up then, did he?
No. He was still going on. And he went on the floor. And I gave him a little bit of a kicking. And I put it, and the kids were going, we want Jess. And I did it in time. We want Jess.
This was on stage?
No, he's on the floor in my dressing room.
Oh, in the dressing room. Okay, right. Oh, so you can hear him out the front, right.
Keep with me.
I'm sorry.
I'm in the dressing room. The kids are screaming.
Yeah.
My fans. We want Jess. And on the word Jess, I would kick in. We want Jess. Bosh. We want Jess. Bosh. And that was it. And Joe Meek wrote me a letter and sacked me. And then I wrote a letter back saying I was sorry, a lovely letter. And he said, oh, I know what you boys are like. And he forgave me. And Heinz and I became the greatest friends after that. And I used to look at him and I said, you know, Heinz, you remind me so much of the old days. He said, why is that? I said, well, that scar on your nose. I said, it reminds me of, you know, when we met.
I found...
But we did come... I do regret it. That is what happened. And we did become really, really good mates.
I'm glad you became friends. We've got Jess Conrad here in the studio. And I'm glad you did, because I found a really nice... We're big fans and friends of Eddie Large on this show. We've had Eddie.
Oh, Eddie. I love Eddie.
Love
I did
Eddie.
Panto with him.
I bet.
And played golf with him.
Oh, he's such a nice man. We love him on it. And I found a great clip of the Little and Large show where it's all you lot. It's you, It's Hines. It's screaming Lord Such, because people forget that he was a singer. I think there's someone else. And it's just this great 15-minute... like sketch and sort of little concert thing with all of you coming out and doing, and you come out all pompous and all full of yourself.
And what, when did I come out last?
I think you did.
Oh, yes, certainly of course I did. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done the show. And Wee Willie Harris was on it.
Wee Willie Harris, that was it. That
and
was
I
it.
Came out
that
and did Johnny Be Good.
Yeah.
To a standing ovation.
It's a great clip. It's
and
on YouTube.
It's a great clip. And I did Panto with them. Jim Davison directed us up north somewhere. And I started playing villain then. I played the sheriff.
Right.
The sheriff of Nottingham. I'm very Errol Flynnish. And I remember once Jim got very upset because in the fight I'm the sheriff, and the fight with Robin Hood should win.
Yeah.
And this particular night, I had people in.
We know where this is going.
So Robin Hood got stabbed.
Can't even look at him.
And he had to fall down and pretend he was dead. So Jim said, "Why did you do that?" I said, "I had people in."
I've got people in. Listen, let's take a quick break. Amy, let's play the ads. When we come back, can we come back to track 26, Lock Up Your Daughters, please? Because I really want to hear that. We've got Jess Conrad in. This is the Late Night Alternative. Ian Lee, Catherine Boyle, weeknights from 10 on Talk Radio.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Day work over, now it's time for fun. Been waiting all day for the nighttime fun. You're all dressed up and you're looking fine. Got no worries on your mind. So mama, lock up your daughters, turn down the light. Jess is coming here tonight. People everywhere I've been, the rock and roll show's been the best they've seen. So little lady, let me hold your hand. Jess is gonna be a rock and roll man. So mama, lock up your daughters, turn down the light. Jess is a-coming here tonight. Let's rock a beat. Time band. So mama, lock up your daughters, turn down the light. Jess is a coming here tonight. Lock up your daughters,
down the lights. Jess is gonna love you tonight.
Here we go, here we go. Jess Conrad, you old horn dog. My goodness.
I like that because I wrote it.
Do you get more money now?
And you said you liked the guitarist. That was Junior Campbell of Marmalade.
Oh, great.
It was made by a conglomerate of us all mates. Dave D was on that, of Dave D.
Dozy Mickey. Easy for you to remember.
I know. He's my best friend then. And Junior Campbell. He arranged the whole thing, and it originally went out under the thing of Men.
That was the name, wasn't it?
That was the little group we called the Men.
It's on the new CD, Jess For You, Jess Conrad, the definitive collection. It's a double CD. It's on Cherry Red Records, which is a great label. Go and look at their website when you're ordering this. They've got some great stuff. There's over 60 tracks on here. Now, it says in the booklet's incredible as well. And it says in the booklet, Jess Conrad, he once sold flowers from a stall at London's Marble Arch. Is that true?
Yes.
Was that the job?
Yeah, that was a job. Yeah. That was a job. And I had a lady. Women play a big part in my life. A lady used to come and buy flowers from me.
Yeah.
And said that, I was, well, I know, which is that something like, you're the best looking flower boy I've ever seen, something like that. And we got talking and stuff, and she paid
Knee
for...
trembler?
Pardon?
Knee trembler?
How can Jess Conrad be speechless? Suffice to say, she paid for me to go to drama school.
Wow.
So make up your own. And, So that was it.
What did Mum think of you wanting to be an actor? Did she see that as a proper career, or did she think that was just nonsense?
Oh yes.
She?
And when I I almost lived at the London Palladium.
Right.
I was doing shows at the London Palladium, and she used to throw up flowers.
Did she really?
And I said, Mum, and I didn't know how to tell her off, but I did say, Mum, it's a bit feminine for flowers.
Yeah.
Could you butch it up a bit? Butch? What do you mean? I said, well, throw up a sausage roll, but there must be something else. So she said, so that was it. Upset her.
Yeah, really.
Flowers. So anyway, now I'm doing Night of 100 Stars with Gene Kelly.
Mm.
And Gene Kelly comes out and stays center stage. We weren't positioned, so obviously I got next to him.
Yeah. Oh.
So I'm next to, and we're doing the curtain call. Mum, who was standing at the back for 5 shillings, hurtled down the London Palladium centre aisle with a box of chocolates that she got somehow from the display window of the local sweet shop.
Yeah.
And it was almost as big as, well, it was like a huge,
yeah, I bet,
box with these big, terrible corners, really hard cardboard. And she hurled these box of chocolates up at me, hit Gene Kelly in the temple, blood spurted out like from a whale, claret went zump. He held this and went, and she said to him, first term names, sorry, Gene, to Gene Kelly, who's holding blood claret coming all over the stage. Sorry, Gene, they're for my son, Jess. And he's gone, who the f*** is Jess? I'm standing next to him. Now, the curtain comes across. The royal family are waiting to come on to shake everybody's hand.
Yes.
He's holding his hand like
God,
with claret going everywhere. The first aid people come in, because there's always first aid people side of the stage.
Mm.
They patch him up with a band. They're sweeping sweets up from the floor.
Mm.
And the chocolate box is all over the floor because the royal family are coming on.
Yeah.
And then, anyway, they come on. We shake our hands and everything. And I gave her a sort of telling off. So she went back to throwing flowers.
Oh, bless your poor mum. But she was proud of you, though. She loved it.
She was a wonderful person.
Stood next to someone like Gene
South
Kelly.
South London beauty queen.
Yeah.
Looked like Linda Darnell, the star of that era. And she could paint. She painted some wonderful pictures of me. And, of course, she was so thrilled when I made it and played Good. Jesus in Godspell and Joseph, because she went to church and stuff. So she was a proper lady.
You were never meant to be. You were an actor, and you got the gig as a pop star by being in a, was it a TV play about a pop star?
In those days there was the play of the week, the film of the week and the Palladium. And they were looking for, the idea of this Barney Day was that they were going to put a new rock star on at the London Palladium. But they were going to make a composite face.
Right.
In other words, the best nose in the world, the best ears in the world, the best teeth in the world. And so take Kirk Douglas's nose, Rock Hudson's ears, whoever had the best of that face, you know, that would make the most beautiful face. The photographer taking the picture was... I was his young brother,
right.
And he didn't want the fuss of taking all these bits and pieces of famous people. He just took a picture of his young brother, which was me. And I finished up. Paul Carpenter played him.
Okay.
He was quite a big fit star then. And so I finished up going on the Palladium and singing one number. Mm. And they even dubbed my voice. There was a singer then called Gary Mills, had a hit called Look for a Star.
Right.
So they used his voice. And 4 weeks after that, I was the biggest rock star in England.
Isn't that incredible?
So it's amazing. So, so I went to see Jack Good, because that weekend, the show was on the Friday. That weekend, the papers were full of it. Who is Barney Day? You know, and the kids went, because there was no social media then,
no.
You know, and they'd seen something that they liked. And the press went mad. Who is Barney Day? They hooked onto this thing, you know, and it was actor called Jess Conrad, you know, Bubba, which is another story how I got the name. So I went to see Jack Good, and I hunted him down, and he was in a church hall in Chiswick.
Jack Good was a huge producer.
Bigger than Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
Bigger than Simon Cowell.
Was it 6-5 Special?
Yeah,
was that 6-5, one of his?
Very, very plummy voice.
Yeah.
You couldn't get anywhere near him.
Right.
He was more difficult to get hold of than Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
He was top, top man. Very educated, Toff's accent, but lived and breathed rock and roll.
Yeah.
He gave everybody their image. He said anyway, when I went to see him, I went in this room, in the hall, and there was, you know, Eddie Cochran, Gene Vincent, all these big rock and roll stars. And I walked in, and he looked up, because, you know, when I walk in anywhere, they do stop, you know. It's one of the funny things I've got, I suppose.
Well, they're worried you're going to bite their noses off. That's the thing. Everyone puts their hands over their hooters.
I've lost track of the plot now.
No, you walked in and there's Eddie Cochran and Gene Vincent.
So, yes, and so I walked in and he said, no, stop. And I said, what do you want? I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, I'm just, he said, I know who you are. Everybody knows who you are.
Yeah.
What do you want? So I said, well, I'll talk to you. So I, and he dismissed them. He said, oh, we call it a day, boys. He said, and Eddie Cochran and Gene Vincent walked out. What walked past me? I thought, oh, never duck, you know, they walked past me. And he said, no. I said, well, he said, everybody knows who you are. He said, the press have gone crazy. And I said, yes, I thought perhaps I could compare one of your shows.
Mm.
He said, can you sing? I said, no, I can't sing. He said, well, let me audition you. So he gave me a broomstick to move around. And I could move very well because I used to go to Paris with au pair girls in those days and win jiving competitions.
No, you can't just throw that into the mix.
Well, au pair girls were like, everybody had an au pair girl.
Yeah.
And
you go to Paris and jive.
And they used to hang around cafes in the West End, which I, you know, frequented. So anyway, so I could move. So I'm moving well and I'm singing a song, finished that. And he said, well, Jess, he said, you can't sing a note, but I can make you a pop star by next weekend.
Wow.
I said, how can you make me a pop star by next weekend if I can't sing? He went, and he pointed at me and said, I want that face.
There you go.
And I was called the Face of 1960, and it was all to do with the face.
Yeah.
And I went on his shows, And I was voted England's most popular singer by the New Musical Express. I had a Decca recording contract, and I did Oh Boy, Wham, and Boys Meets Girls. Mm. Three shows on a Saturday before all the social media, so all the kids watched the shows. And actually, we that era before the Beatles, we changed black and white England into colour.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say, did you get angry with bands like the Beatles? Because the Beatles sort of, not quite killed, well, maybe they did, they killed
a stone dead.
Yeah, the solo singer was replaced by four lads with guitars.
The killers didn't kill me stone dead.
No, you still got the career, yeah.
I went in and did Jesus and Godspell and Joseph and did plays. I did some wonderful work. Night Must Fall, I played. Eminem Williams wrote it and played the lead when he was young. I played that. I did a show called The Knack, which there was a film of. I toured that for a long time. So I went into theatre, which I really quite liked. I really liked it. My thing on the Beatles were they were great, but they were so in contrast to us. They were scruffy. It was a different look altogether.
Yeah.
You know, to come on at the London Palladium for the Variety
the
Club
Variety.
Show of the year, the Royal Come On performance with John Lennon with a Durex on his shoe, you know.
Did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
He walked on with a Durex.
Was that the rattle your jewellery?
Yeah, that was the whole thing. And of course, in those days, you couldn't be married. My agent said, if you get married, you know, it's finished. The contract goes and everything. I'm only mentioning that because with a stroke of a pen, because John Lennon was married, with a stroke of a pen, it was okay to be married.
Yeah.
Just like that. And we went through, I mean, you know, I got married secretly in Holland, and I did live in Saint-Tropez for a long time, away from the spotlight. Where was I?
Stay there. We're going to take a break. He's taking some breath, which means I can butt in. When we come back, quick break. When we come back, I want to hear about Adam West.
Oh, yes.
And you playing Adam West. I'm enjoying this so much. We've got Jess Conrad here. I'm Ian Lee. We've got Catherine Boyle. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
Unfiltered night talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
This is the Late Night Alternative. Hello, Catherine Boyle.
Hello, I'm looking at pictures of Jess Conrad.
We don't need to, he's there. He's
I know, but
there.
It's such a nice pastime.
Now, I've got this, the Jess For You double CD.
Yes.
And Cherry Red Records. And it's got a picture of you here holding a gun. And it says, audition for James Bond, 1968.
Yes.
Did you audition?
George Lazenby got it. What a mistake that was.
What a terrible mistake. Did you audition? Wow, go on.
I auditioned for it and... Well, it's a very long story.
Well, it looks good to me.
I was with one of my actor friends, I can't think of his name.
That's okay. Don't worry.
Now, one of my actor friends, and I said, you know, stars have got blue eyes. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, you look at Paul Newman. They got wonderful blue eyes. And I said, I think we should get blue eyes. And then we'll be stars. He said, well, you're doing well. He said, you know, you're on television all the time. You're making films. And he said, and he was doing a series with someone, a very famous series, with the man with the bowler hat, went to America.
Not the prisoner, no.
No, man with the bowler hat and the lovely blonde girl.
The Avengers.
Who was that in the Avengers?
That was,
who plays Steed.
It was, what's his name? Kinky Boots. The Kinky Boots guy.
Hang on.
Well, no, she was Kinky Boots' girl.
She was Honor Blackman, and he was...
He was, anyway...
Patrick McNee.
No.
The coffee guy. Gareth Hunt.
Yeah, Gareth.
There we go. So new Avengers.
We're at a few drinks after
a game
of golf.
It's like a meeting at the old people's home, the three of us.
I did tell you before the show, if I go blank, you know. So Gareth Hunt, and he said, no, you're doing it. I said, no. He said, well, look, okay. He said, you look into it. So I looked into it, and in those days, you get contact lenses, but they weren't prescribed in any way. In other words... you couldn't see through them.
Right.
You look, I put them on and I look like the man from Atlantis, but I couldn't see anything.
Right, okay.
So I said, I've got these eyes, and I don't know what they were, but they were quite expensive then, like they were £100 each or £50 each. So I said, look, so he gave me half the money, and I said, look, you keep the left eye and I'll keep the right mints. And I said, every time we get an audition, you bring the left eye over. So that's what we did every time he had an audition. So I had an audition for James Bond, and I said, he said, what are you auditioning for? And I didn't want to tell him it was James Bond, otherwise he'd get onto it, you know. I said, it's some funny old commercial, you know. So he brought the left mints over. So I drove into London, to meet Chubby Broccoli, and of course I didn't have my eyes in because I couldn't drive because you can't see through them. So when I got there, the casting director said, "Oh, I'm glad you've arrived, Jess." He said, "Because somebody hadn't turned up and he'll see you now," which I wasn't quite ready for because I thought, you know, I'd take a breath, and I was all bonded up, you know, thing. So I ran up the stairs and I knocked on the door. And I can imagine a Chubby Broccoli or Cubby Broccoli, whatever his name was sitting in the office with a cigar. And he went, come in. And just as I was about to go in, I thought, I hadn't put my eyes in.
God, what's your language, Jeff?
Well, I didn't. I said, I,
you said flip it, yeah.
Flip it. I said, yeah, I said, flip it. Exactly, I said, yeah. I've got my eyes in. So he said, who said? No, nobody said anything. Yeah, I said, I thought, I haven't got my eyes in. So, and now remember, Chubby Broccoli's in the other room waiting for Bond, he hopes, come through the door. So I try and put my left eye in, and it falls on the carpet.
Oh, God.
So I pick it up, and I put it in, but it's got a bit of carpet in it, you know. So now I can't see in that eye. So then I put the other eye in, and now I can't see through any eye. So I walk in, a la James Bond, because I know how he walked. And I flick my cuffs, and I swung open the door. Now, ordinary people then turn their back on whoever they're talking to and close the door. But actors don't do that. John Wayne was the best ever mover and everything, the way you do things. Where you walk in a room, you open the door like that and close it behind you.
Right, yeah.
And then you never, you're front stage all the time. So I walked in, did the door business, closed the door, flicked my, and the best James Bond, I went, my name's Conrad, Jess Conrad. Flicked the cuffs, winked, and I heard a voice say, I'm over here. I didn't know where he was. I couldn't see him.
I didn't get it.
And I said, when I left the room, I walked into the broom cupboard. So he phoned down to the casting director. He said, your star's up. He said, he's in the broom cupboard. You better come and get him.
I love you so much. You're coming back again, Jess. You recently played Adam West.
Yes.
In the movie. And when you, because I bumped into you a couple of weeks ago when you were in for Dan Wooten's show, and I brought my boys in, and I walked in, and suddenly Jess Conrad's in. I got a bit flustered. And you were telling me then about playing Adam West, and it makes perfect sense because you look so much like him.
Yeah.
But what was the film?
Well, it was Adam West. Adam West died of leukemia at 81. He was diagnosed with leukemia. Within 4 weeks, he was dead. So they were looking for somebody to play Adam West, Batman. Adam West is the actor that played him from the age of 60. So nowadays, you have to do everything yourself. You don't go into audition. You have to do it all over the, you know, the internet and stuff. So the thing was, I had to watch his biography.
Yeah.
And he was a bit childlike, mid-America. In fact, when they first started doing the Batman series, the producers were very worried because it was very childish.
Yeah.
They said, what are these two doing? This is ridiculous. But then it clicked and it really was funny. It was a big hit. But that was his sense of humour. You know, he had a very boyish sense of humour. Anyway, so I had to... They sent me a picture of him when he was 60, so I actually had to age up because you know I did look better than him, which wasn't a surprise in my life. So I greyed up and put glasses on, put my hair forward grey, and I got the part immediately.
Yeah,
and I went down there and I was very thrilled to get it because I played Jesus in Godspell. I played Joseph in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And I've played Batman. I mean, Trump must be next, mustn't he? He must be next. the President of the United States, for the President of the United States must have my eyes, he must have my good looks, and what's more important than anything, my sex appeal. And the next President of the United States will be J.S. Conrad. So I've got to play him next.
Yes, I can probably see it.
So I went down, and I was really thrilled to make it, because, you know, it's a famous person.
Mm.
And I did look, and when I walked in, the director was so thrilled, and the wardrobe master gave me the costumes, and they were fine. And then he gave me these Chelsea boots, which, you know, Chelsea boots.
I've got a pair of Chelsea boots. I love them, yeah.
You still got them?
Oh, I've still got
them.
They
must pen a bit. And they're with the elastic size.
Yeah.
So, but I've got size 11. I'm size 11. And he gave me size 10.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got size 11.
We all know what that means, Jess. We all know what that means.
Anyway. So I've got size. So I've
big
tried
socks.
To put these. I get the best out of everything if I can. What does that mean? No, so I tried to put these boots on, and I put them on, and they were agony. And yeah. I said to the wardrobe master, I said, these are agony. I can't walk about in these. He said, don't worry, Jess. He said, every time you do a scene, I'll come and take your boots off. And I said, okay, if that's where we are, if you can't get any, because he insisted I wear these Chelsea boots. So we did that. That's what we did. I took boots off, rested. He came. We come to the last day. I do the scene. I get ready to do the scene, but we can't find the wardrobe master. He's gone AWOL. Now, in the old days, as you probably know, you could have asked the tea lady or the third assistant to take your boots off, but you can't do it because of the unions. Nobody will touch your boots. No one. So I'm there, and I'm saying to the director, they're looking for him. Where's the wardrobe master? He's not there. He's not there. So the director said, well, he said, look, you want to get finished today. He said, why don't you get in bed with your boots on. I thought to myself, get in bed with my boots on to do the death scene of Adam West, one of the biggest stars in the world. Hey, in bed with Chelsea. So I got in bed, Chelsea, bollock naked. I got in bed doing the death scene, bollock naked, with Chelsea boots on and wife fronts. And I've got my wife on the end of the bed. By this time, she's crying because she's a method actress and she's got into the bar. Got my two young kids there. And the director said, this is the last scene. He said, it's been great working with you, Jess. He said, you know, this is the last scene. It's a very important scene. And I was in such agony. These boots were so tight. Tears were running down my face before we even started the scene.
Yeah.
He did the scene, finished the scene, loved it, wrap it. That's great. Jess, he said... always call me Mr. Conrad. He wouldn't call me Jess. Mr. Conrad, he said, it's been great working with you. He said, and we must work again together. He said, and I have to say, he said, that last scene, that was some acting, Mr. Conrad. He said, even I felt the pain. I thought to myself, even you thought in pain. I said, I was dying. Tears were running down my cheeks. I was in such pain. So that was that.
Oh, Jess, it's so nice to have you in. The hour's gone.
Gone?
It's done.
Where's it gone to?
Well, I don't know. It's disappeared. There's so much. We didn't even get to talk.
I didn't even sing a medley of my... You only played two tracks.
We'll play another
one. I was a fool to myself.
But you... We've got literally 30 seconds. We didn't even get to talk about Last Laugh in Vegas, that brilliant show.
Yes, when I played myself.
Yes, you did.
They said, there's a... a chef there and somebody to look after the house. When I got there, there wasn't anybody there at all.
No, they stitched you up.
I was heavily stitched up.
Yes,
but I just played myself and it kind of worked. You know,
was it fun to do? It was a great show.
Yeah, it was great fun. We're great mates. We all got on very well together.
For those, we talked about it a lot on this show. We were obsessed with it. Cannon and Ball, Kenny Lynch, Bobby Crush. Anita Supard. Harris, Supard, you went to Las Vegas.
The thing is, we're all good friends, so we had a wonderful time. And, of course, when we were there, and we only had 3 days to put that show on, and, you know, it was very important that we kept at it. And, of course, the gunman killed all those people.
Mm-hmm.
We woke up that morning.
Happened,
we were
you?
There, and
wow.
They said, you know, what are we going to do? Nobody's working. And you don't have to work because everyone's closed. It's,
yeah.
You know, nobody's around, but we can rehearse if you want to. And then the old saying, because we had to do it because we had the, we said, you know, the show must go on. So we rehearsed.
Yeah.
I mean, the American kids didn't come in, but we rehearsed because we just had to. And it was very, very strange because when we got to the rehearsal studio, you could actually see the hotel where it happened.
Wow.
It was a terrible, terrible time.
Yeah, it must terrible have been incredible. It was an amazing series. We had Tommy Cannon on, of course, who told us about it. Tommy Cannon, yeah. Cannon and Ball were so funny in that programme.
They were.
I would like to see, I'll give all of you
Tommy,
guys a show.
Tommy! And to get out of his way, Tommy used to sunbathe every day. And I said, you're mad sunbathing in this weather. Even I love the sun.
Yeah.
But I think he used to do it because Tommy used to make it. He said, put the kettle on, Tommy. Eggs and bacon. He phoned his wife 20 times a day. Yeah. And poor Tommy was doing eggs and bacon three all day long. So he went out and sunbathed. And I told him not to. And the last day, he got a funny thing on. He said, melanoma, you know.
Oh, blimey.
Done it now. You've got a bit of skin cancer, but
you've got a bit of skin cancer.
I told you not
listen,
to do it.
We're out of time. There's a great double
CD.
Okay.
It's gone now.
But please be quiet now, Mr. Conrad. Please, sir. OBE. There's a great double.
Oh, big head.
There's a great double CD just for you.
Old time Buckley's Entertainer.
Jess, I'm ignoring him now. Jess Conrad, it's on Cherry Red Records. I thoroughly recommend it. It's a beautiful little package. So nice to see you, Jess.
For collectors only.
Please come in again, man.
That's everybody.
Because it makes it. We get paid the same, and we do hardly any talking.
You must be thrilled to have a real star on your show, and I'm so thrilled for you.
I am. He's coming in after you go. Now I'm teasing. Right, we'll be
Who's
back.
That? Kenny Lynch.
We'll be back without Jess.
Bobby Bob.
After this, this is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.